Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, parents. Looking for something fun to listen to in the car with your kids? Blippi and Mika have a brand new podcast, Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. Each week, the Blippi Mobile will take your kids to amazing places. Your kids will learn awesome new things about the places and things they see and hear. It's a fun, interactive listening experience for the whole family. Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Money Making Conversations. It's the show that shares the secrets of success experienced firsthand by marketing and branding expert Rashawn McDonald. I will know. He's given me advice on many occasions, and in case you didn't notice, I'm not broke. You know he'll be interviewing celebrity CEOs, entrepreneurs, and industry decision makers. It's what he likes to do. It's what he likes to share. Now it's time to hear from my man, Rashawn McDonald. Money Making Conversations. Here we go.
I am Rashawn McDonald, and I host the weekly Money Making Conversation Masterclass show. The interviews and information that this show provides are for everyone. It's time to stop reading other people's success stories and start living your own. My next guest is Georgia native Elia English. She has an indelible career in television, theater, film, and the jazz clubs. And from her memorial television roles as Auntie Ray on HBO's Curb Your Enthusiasm, Lover, and Helen on Jamie Foxx show. That's where I met her. Mary Lou Wentz on Disney's Club, Good Luck Charlie, and as Henny on Lifetime movie of the week, Petals on the Wind. She was on the show to talk about her career, upcoming YouTube show, and the final season of Curb Your Enthusiasm. Please welcome the Money Making Conversation Masterclass show, Elia English. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for asking. How are you, my Rashawn?
Well, I got my legs crossed. I'm ready to talk.
I'm ready. It is a pleasure.
Well, thank you. It's really excited to have you on the air because, you know, you and I met way back in, about 98 when I was co-executive using the Jamie Foxx show, watching his career and watching your career grow and blossom and grow to diversity. You know, when I said diversity, I just knew you as an actress. Now, I didn't know you could sing. You've become an author. Talk about diversifying yourself along the way, along that path, this journey of having a career.
Okay. Well, for me, Rashawn, I know that when I first moved away from home from Georgia, a little small town outside of Atlanta called Covington, and I moved to New York, I went there to begin my career in theater. And so I started out in theater. And one of the things that I learned during theater, you had to be what was called at that time a triple threat. You had to be able to act, you had to be able to sing, and you had to be able to dance if you wanted to work on Broadway. And so I had to immediately, thank goodness I had already started theater before I left Atlanta. I did two projects. One was called, Manhattan Yellow Pages. Uh-huh. And the other one was called Blackbirds of 1978. I was still in school when I did those projects in Atlanta, but they helped me to launch, I guess, what I realized at that time was going to be my acting career. And then I went to New York, ended up being on Broadway doing Ain't Misbehaving, the Fats Waller musical, which was awesome. Yeah. And then from
let me slow down a little bit because small town.
Yes.
You know, and I come from Houston, Texas. So
I love it.
You know,
I know Houston.
I started as a stand-up comedian and from a big market, but I wasn't in New York and I wasn't in LA. You know, those two markets people say you gotta go to. So What was the mentality? Was there any fear translating from a small market, small town personality to a big place like New York?
That's a great question, Rashawn, and I'll never forget that day when I arrived. You're making me go back and relive some moments. But the blessing for me thank God for my parents. My dad, at that time when I was moving away, my dad actually had become a pastor, a minister of a church, but I grew up in the church. And so mm-hmm. faith was one of the things that I did learn growing up, and I had to hold on to it. But yes, there was great fear. And when I was traveling to New York from Georgia, a situation happened where the producer that I'd done the Manhattan Yellow Pages with and the Blackbirds of 1978, he was supposed to be bringing me my final check, because I was getting ready to travel, and he was late, and he caused me to miss my flight, which caused me to miss the person who was going to be picking me up when I got to New York. And so when I arrived in New York, he couldn't get back to the airport in time to get me. So he was like, I want you to go out and you're going to take this bus. And this bus landed me on a street that I was so not prepared for. Trust me, I was green beyond green. I mean, I was so naive, young at the time. I was on 42nd Street. Yes. But all I kept singing to myself was, and saying to myself, first of all, was, I don't believe you brought me this far to leave me. And there yes. was a song that I learned that I used to sing in the church choir when I was little. And it goes, I don't feel no ways tired. I've come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me the road would be easy, and I don't believe you brought me this far to leave me. And that was my mom.
Wow. You know, I'm gonna tell you something. 42nd Street, for people who go there now, the 42nd Street, because I saw 42nd Street in 88. Okay. So I know exactly. I mean, the cop scene there, they had bigger guns than I've ever seen. You couldn't walk 2 feet without being a lady of the night or the man of the night approaching you. You couldn't walk 2 feet without somebody wanting to sell you drugs.
Yes.
And I was from Houston, Texas. I was stunned. So I know from covering in Georgia, you were really taken back.
Taken back. I'd never seen anything like it. And even though I'd lived in Atlanta for a while before I moved away, I never got in those communities. I never saw anything like it. It was so crazy. And I was blessed because right after I got off the bus and I looked around and saw where I was, a taxi driver pulled up. And when he pulled up in front of me and his tires screeched. And he was like, hello, you're not from here, are you? And I went, no, I'm not. He was like, where are you going? And I told him where I was going. I didn't realize it was really right around the corner. And he said to me, get in this taxi and get in here now. And I jumped in the taxi, and he just drove me around the corner and got me to the apartment complex that I needed to be in. I said, that's when I went, okay, angels, thank you. My angels were truly watching over me that day.
Well, you know, I can remember that, you know, my New York experience was very similar to yours, because it's so many people. It's moving so fast.
Yes.
When people are watching this show or listening to the show, any advice that you can give them by, you know, an opportunity you went for, but you need to be a little cautious, better planner for that situation that you walked in, like I walked in, you know, because every plan doesn't go correct.
Truth.
What would you suggest?
I would truly, in this day and age, I would tell young people, get informed. We have access now to information that you and I didn't have at the time. I mean, when I had to go look something up, we still had to go to the library to get this information. But we have information at our fingertips now with the internet, you know, where you can, and then we've got our Google. We can go in and Google anything. Be informed. Make sure you learn. And the good part was I did have contacts when I came out. So I wasn't coming out just on my own and being alone. I actually had some actors that I had worked with who had come to Georgia in that show that I did called the Manhattan Yellow Pages.
Right.
And they were there as well. So they were there to help me, to guide me, to tell me, you know, what I needed to do, how to get to the auditions, how to ride the trains. So you need, like, I guess, not necessarily a village, but you do need like your core, a core group of people that you can trust when you're there, and that who's lived in the community and they know it, and they can definitely steer you the right way and in the right course. So I would advise people to make sure you stay informed.
Great. I'm speaking earlier English. on Helen on the Jamie Foxx show. I'm gonna leave with that. We're gonna get to Curvy Enthusiast, but I'm gonna go back to when I first met her. You know, beautiful personality. It was 1998. I was co-executive producer of the Jamie Foxx show. Jamie's on fire. He just finished Any Given Sunday. Mm-hmm. The show was like one giant party. It was an amazing time because black television was taking off. You know, you had the WB, you had the CW, and the UPN, and all these things that were carrying black programming. How did you get cast on the Jamie Foxx show?
Oh, that's a great question. We had we started out with this open call, and it was every black woman, of course, that was in California was definitely at the audition, and they were auditioning for all the roles, you know. And when they started to do the weeding them down and bringing the callbacks, I'll never forget my final callback. And actually, Rashawn, I don't know if you know this, I was actually the youngest of all the women that were auditioning. They were much older, and they all knew they had the role because they were like, she's too young. She can't do it anyway. But I'll never forget when I got an opportunity on that last callback, Jamie was there. Mm-hmm. And I got the opportunity. Jamie took me off script. First we had a script that we had to learn, but Jamie took me off script, and it was so wonderful. It was like going on this little roller coaster ride with him, and wherever he went, I was right there. And wherever I went, he was right there. And we had such a great chemistry in that audition. It was just an audition. It wasn't the show. And I believe that was where the blessing came in me being able to be the one. And I am so grateful. I can never thank them enough. I can't thank them enough.
Please don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with more Money Making Conversations Masterclass.
When it comes to ensuring your company has top-notch security practices, things can get complicated fast. Vanta automates compliance for ISO 27001 SOC 2 and more, saving you time and money. Unify your security program management and streamline security reviews with AI-powered security questionnaires. Over 7,000 global companies like Atlassian, FlowHealth, and Quora use Vanta to build trust and improve security in real time. Access Vanta's free suite of resources to scale your governance, risk, and compliance program at vanta.com/special. That's vanta.com/special.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together. We'll cry together and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, parents. Looking for something fun to listen to in the car with your kids? Blippi and Mika have a brand new podcast, Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. Each week, the Blippi Mobile will take your kids to amazing places.
Click, click, put your seatbelts on. Get ready for a ride. We're gonna have some fun.
They'll explore and listen to the sounds of amazing places like farms, racetracks, the moon, and even
construction sites.
That's right, Blippi.
Follow your ears. What do you hear?
And they'll meet new friends along the way. Alongside Blippi and Mika, your kids will learn awesome new things about the places and things they see and hear. It's a fun, interactive listening experience for the whole family. Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Class. Welcome back to the Money Making Conversations Masterclass, hosted by Rashawn McDonald.
Now let's get back to why she came on this show. My show, Money Making Conversations, Elia English. You know, she really came on it for one reason: on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yes.
Created by Larry David, who also created the Seinfeld show, which was a tremendous hit on NBC. How did you get cast in the role of Auntie Ray? Is Auntie Ray correct?
Auntie Ray, that's correct. Oh my goodness, thank you. That's another great question. Mm-hmm. The audition that I had for that show was, I mean, really amazing. I had an opportunity in that particular audition where I had to attack Larry David. And so this is my first time meeting him. I mean, this is the legendary Larry David. Like you said, he's done Seinfeld. I mean, he is amazing. And so I had to, and he was saying to me, don't feel bad. Don't hold back. Just go ahead and do it. And I truly did. I can't remember what our dialogue was, but I know it was a scene about him doing something that I had to stop him from doing.
Right.
And I truly did. When it came time for me to have to come and take him down, I took him down, and everybody in the room lost it. They laughed so hard. And then after we were done, I was like, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you? He was like, I'm fine. I'm fine. He says, I'm glad you went for it. And that, I believe, might be exactly why I was blessed to be Auntie Ray.
Let's work down the show, because I know Kim Whitley, a good friend of mine, long has done the show, and I've had on the show talking about the structure. Before we get into other characters, J.B. Smooth character and Vivica Fox character, memorable characters on the series, as is your character. How does it work? How does, because they say it's improvisational. How do you get a script at all to do the show, Kirby Enthusiasm?
No, we do not get a script. We get, they tell us like of what they want the scene to be about. So we at least have an idea of what we're going to be doing and what the scene is going to be about. But once we start the scene, once they say action, it's dialogue that is coming raw from us. However, what I love about that is my training ground for improvisation was in theater.
Right.
And I'll never forget, I think I was I still 19 or maybe I had finally turned 20, but I got to work with this woman she's a legendary actress. Her name was Peggy Cass. And Peggy Cass, I had seen also growing up as a kid with those old black and white movies when she played in Auntie Mame. She was the secretary, Agnes Gooch. And so I actually got to star in a production called Nonsense with her. So first of all, the intimidations of playing opposite this legendary actress. And then we were at the Ford Theater in Washington, D.C., that they kept exactly the same as it was. And that balcony where President Lincoln was shot, I had to play to that every night. So that was like really intimidating. But the one thing that was happening, because she was an older actress, she started going up on her lines. And I had to be the one, because it was most of our scenes were together, to bring her back. So I had to learn how to make sure I did my dialogue, but created dialogue to get her back on track and make sure that the audience was none the wiser. No one knew that I was doing that. And that was my training ground for improvisation. And then when we were doing the Jamie Foxx show, you guys would let us do the script, right? Yes. And once we got the script landed, you let us play. And that was so much fun. That was my next experience of improvising. And like I said, I also did the improvisation with Jamie for the audition. And so by the time I got here, he gave us the playground. It was just a playground to just improv. And Larry David is so generous. I mean, he is so kind, and he lets you go. He doesn't stop you. He lets you go. You just keep going, going, going until he says stop sometimes if it's too far. But it's wonderful to do that improv. And I noticed that even when we were doing the Jamie Foxx show, a lot of the things that we were able to do with our improv, you guys ended up having it in the cut. And I was excited about that. So
it's a couple of things I want to bring up, Elliot, about you.
Okay.
That a lot of people out there want to not just act, but want to do things in life. And they tend to allow fear, the unknown, like you moving to New York. You changed your comfort zone to move to New York. You know what I'm saying?
I did.
Because it wasn't like I had to move to Houston, New York. I didn't want to move to New York. I didn't want to move to L.A., but that I had to for my career. And then you talk about improvising with Jamie Foxx. You talk about improvising with Larry David. Those are uncomfortable moments. How could you advise people to push past those uncomfortable moments?
Wow. That's a great question. Most of us who find ourselves in this entertainment, especially acting career, we've been doing it all of our lives. We've been play acting since we were kids, right? And so you let yourself go back there. You revisit that time when you were playing with your siblings and you guys created this scene or you created this story. It's like, I'm going to play this character. I'm going to play. But we didn't call it that because I didn't know that back then. Like when I was growing up in our backyard, the one thing I used to do, we would play what was called church. And I would always be the preacher and I would give the sermon. And so all I was doing was mimicking what I saw. So when children that are very, observant, because we watch the adults. And oftentimes for me too, when I was growing up, you know, there was this rule of children should be seen and not heard. So because we couldn't talk a lot, we had to watch a lot and we got to listen a lot. And just do that, observing. And then just let yourself be free and have fun. It is so wonderful. If you go in thinking, I got to think this through, and you're going to, it'll block you. It'll block your creativity. You got to let your creative side come through and just have fun. It's not easy. I'm not going to pretend it's easy. It is work. It is definitely work. But if you let yourself go and let go of the inhibitions and just have fun. Now, I remember here's a story when I was growing up, of course, remember I said my dad was a pastor, right? So we couldn't curse. Now, before my dad became a pastor, we heard our relatives cursing all the time. So we knew curse words. So we would practice, actually, when our parents left home, we would practice cursing on each other. So when I did Curb Your Enthusiasm, and I had to do that line, F you, Larry David, when we were out there just carrying on, when they said cut, I would go back in a room and like, I was shaking and nervous because I was like, okay, I'm going to get in trouble. And I go, Elia, you're a grown woman. You're not home. Your parents are not going to get upset with you. It's okay. It's not you. You're portraying a character. It's not something I run around doing every day of my life, right? Mm-hmm.
But you know, when you raised a certain way and you taught skill set and being respectful, I admire that. And I can understand you saying you didn't want to make them believe that all that training, all that work they get it poured into you, that you went out there and just forgot about it, became disrespectful. Exactly. That's what you was talking about. And I understand that. Yeah. But you had some characters on the show that you worked for, did not care about what they said. I'm talking about J.B. Smoove. I'm talking about Vivian Fox. And I wanted to just talk about the importance of you guys' character on Curb Enthusiasm. I always knew about Curb Enthusiasm. But it wasn't until you guys got on the show that I started watching it. Do you realize the impact of what y'all roles or y'all characters played in the success of Curb Enthusiasm? Do you know?
Probably not to the greatest extent, but I have heard people say that he definitely he got a bigger audience, especially of the African American community, right? Yes. When he brought the blacks on, and I love it. And we were called the blacks. Though.
Don't get me wrong, now you know. Coming into his house, not wanting to move. Y'all, it was unbelievable, but Larry David played the straight man so well.
Didn't he?
J.B. Smoove and Vivica Fox and the relationship. I'm just saying is that it was so funny. It was needed because, in this business, Elias, as black actors and actresses, we tend to get typecast. We tend to not be in these type of roles. And this is a show that not only broadened their audience, but broadened your audience, correct?
Yes.
Your level of respect in the industry. Talk about that.
Oh my goodness. It was absolutely amazing. First of all, working with J.B. Smoove, that, you know, not only was he Auntie Ray's nephew, he's like my next nephew. Remember, J.B. was my first television nephew. Now J.B. Smoove, my nephew. I loved working with J.B. Smoove and still do, because we, as the black family, we instantly became a family. Like you said, I had Vivica Fox, who played Loretta, my niece. I had, oh my goodness, J.B. Smoove, who played Leon, my nephew. And then I had a great niece and nephew. I think his name was Nick Nervies, I think was the baby's right. name. Mm-hmm. And he played Daryl. And then the little girl who played Keisha, her name was Carla Jeffrey. And right. we became an instant family, because what I loved was when Larry used that opportunity. Remember, we had the Katrina, Hurricane Katrina was yes. an atrocious thing that we had to go through. And so he took an experience and decided, let me take a displaced family, because that was what was happening at that time too. A lot of people were displaced. A lot of people lost their homes and they were having to move, or people were having to take them in. And so, and it was truly two different cultures. You talk about a culture clash, you know, the Blacks, they were coming from their, you know, Southern town where they had just had just something that, you know, a traumatic experience for them. And they were being saved by this guy who brought them into his home. And the beauty of J.B. Smooth's character, Leon didn't come from the Southern town that they came from. He was already living in California. Right. But when he found out that his auntie and his cousin, they were living there, he moved in too. And that's when it really just became amazing. And yes, oh, Larry David, oh my God, God bless him. Awesome. Awesome. Awesome.
I mean, I watched this. Because I remember the Hurricane Katrina, and I was going through my memory bank, and I forgot JB was the one who sandbagged, because Larry was trying a good deed. It was yes. JB who came in and messed it all up for everybody, because he was scamming everybody.
Yes, 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 and yes. And then he ended up being Larry's best friend. Can you believe it? Larry ended up dating my niece.
His advisor.
I loved it.
When we talk about this industry and having longevity, and I want to wrap this up, I want to keep it. Thank you for allowing me to discuss your journey and the final season of Curvy Enthusiasm. I'm going to miss you. But right now, you have a new series, a YouTube series called My Sisters and Me, a half-hour multi-camera comedy that crosses three distinct generations. Tell us about that, and why are you doing it?
Oh my goodness. Maddie Carruthers, who you know, she also worked on the Jamie Foxx show. Mm-hmm. And when Maddie was working on the Jamie Foxx show, she and I became very, very close and very good friends. And we used to talk about all the time, often about wanting to create a project for me. I wanted us to create a project that she and I could work on together. Right. And so we ended up being able to do that. And I'm talking about Maddie. It truly is an awesome director, Rashawn. I mean, she started her career, I don't know if you know that, she started her career with the iconic Norman Lear. And wow. So when she got us, she's talking about directing us with that show. It was just amazing. And the storyline, which was wonderful for me, was that there were these Black sisters, vivacious, ageless Black sisters who had to live under the same roof without killing each other. And my character, I play the me in My Sisters and Me, right? I'm the baby sister of the bunch. So my character, who thought, you know, now that my older sisters moved out, I can now have my life. My bossy sisters are no longer around and I can go on with my life. Well, then they come back into my life and now they are with their bossy attitudes and everything else. And then it goes on from there. Guess what? I feel like I'm a kid again. I feel like I can't do anything. So everybody, I know everybody can relate to that, whether you've got a big, I know a guy was telling me about his big sisters when he was a little boy, and his mother told him, you're going to be the man of the house and you have to go be the man of the house. And so he goes to his sisters and tells them, I'm the man of the house. And he said she punched him and knocked his teeth out. So everybody is gone through something yeah. with these older siblings. And so that's where the real beauty and the fun comes in. And then we got to figure out how to live together without killing each other. And so I'm excited about that.
What is the future? What is the future for you, a young, small girl from Covington by way of Atlanta through New York and LA? You know, you've done the ambience behavior. You've shown that you can do Broadway. You've shown you can do sitcom. You've shown that you can handle the mainstays of improv and scripted theater. Now you're producing and launching your own YouTube show in January. What is the future? 2024 is here.
Oh my goodness. And am I excited about 2024? Okay, thank you so much for asking that question. And mm-hmm. I will preface it with, I don't know if you knew that in 2018, I dropped everything because I had to come home and make sure my mom was okay. I had to take care of my mom. Okay. And I ended up becoming, it changed. It was, I thought I was just going to become here, make sure I was a companion, make sure, you know, she didn't wander off, make sure somebody was there with her all the time. Well, she ended up getting an infection in her toe, in her big toe. And the whole trajectory of why I came here changed. I ended up becoming her nurse. I had to learn how to change dress wounds. I had to make sure she was at the hospital. I was staying in the hospital with her when, however long she was there, I was there. I never left her side. And so my mom transitioned in 2020. Oh, and so that I had to take the rest of 2020, you know, and that was when, COVID. Thank God, it wasn't COVID, you know. Oh, okay. And so, yeah, she didn't, it wasn't COVID that took her out. And we were able to keep her protected from that. Uh-huh. So then in 2021, I needed to process that. Right. And so in 2022, I was blessed with the opportunity. I am a member of the Sigma Gamma Rho. I got to give my sisters a shout out. So we had our Boule in 2022, and it was our 100th anniversary.
Congratulations. Mm-hmm.
And so thank you so much. And so I sort of like decided to get my feet wet. I ended up being able to go. We had it in Indianapolis, Indiana, which is where mm-hmm. the original four started the sorority. And I did workshops. I did workshops for the kids. I was also, I'm sorry. My sister was saying something to me. What happened to seven? Original seven. She said, she corrected me. She's a soror. So she corrected me. She said the original seven, not the original four. So forgive me.
Oh, you know, I'm going to keep this in here. I'm going to keep this moment in there because this needs, because off screen soror, check it. On screen soror.
Get okay. it right, sister. Get it yes, right get it right.
I'm
going to
keep this moment in here. Don't worry about it. Tell sister.
So after,
say, I love yep. this moment. Excuse me. Seven, not four.
Okay. Not four. Yes,
see,
absolutely.
I'm a member of Omega Psi Phi fraternity, so I know hey, you got to so get those facts right now.
You got to get those facts right, Rashawn. You know what I'm talking four. About? Not four, it's seven. So thank you, my sorors. But so then, look, don't let me lose my train of thought, though. Anyway, what was happening at that time, Rashawn, was Curb was looking for me. And I uh-huh. didn't know it. The moment I stepped out to do something, they were looking for me. And right mm-hmm. after I finished and I came back from the Boule, our 100th anniversary, which was amazing. It went mm-hmm. awesome. I ended up going in and filming this season of Curb Your Enthusiasm. Right. So when you ask that question, what's next for me? You know, my mom, who is still my heart, she's still my everything. Mm-hmm. And for her, she tells me the sky's the limit. She's like, you can, mm-hmm. and you can go beyond the sky. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and shoot. So I'm back. I guess what I would say, right. Ellie is back. Like Auntie right. Ray is mm-hmm. back. And mm-hmm. I'm ready now to embrace it and to really do what I love. Every aspect of it, my singing, my acting, my dancing, my writing. I still love to write. So as long as I'm my Heavenly Father gives mm-hmm. me breath to live, I want to be everything He created me to be and do everything He created me to do, so that when it is done, all said and done, I get to hear my Father say, well done, you good and faithful servant. And I am looking forward to that. So thank you so much.
Content is king, but more importantly, yes. you are a queen. You've a young thank longevity you. In this business, and good luck. And I can't wait to see Curb Your Enthusiasm. More importantly, Sisters and Me premiering yes. in January on YouTube.
January 18th on YouTube. That we're going to do some, we're going to be releasing webisodes of the show on absolutely. YouTube, January absolutely. 18th, 2024.
Thank you for coming on Money Making Conversations Masterclass.
Thank you for having me, Rashawn.
I appreciate
it's
you.
Been a
and
pleasure.
Good luck and God bless.
Thank you, you too. God bless.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Money Making Conversations Masterclass. Money Making Conversations Masterclass with Rashawn McDonald is produced by 3815 Media, Inc. More information about 3815 Media, Inc. is available at 3815media.com. And always remember to lead with your gifts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, parents. Looking for something fun to listen to in the car with your kids? Blippi and Mika have a brand new podcast, Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. Each week, the Blippi Mobile will take your kids to amazing places. Your kids will learn awesome new things about the places and things they see and hear. It's a fun, interactive listening experience for the whole family. Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.